If you got your Bible or your device, hold it up and let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Come on, give God your best shout today. Hallelujah. Amen. Open your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Lamentations, please. Lamentations. We're in a series, we're looking at the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. You know, as we study the faithfulness of God, we're finding out how it will affect our life. And you know, one thing I know, God is a faithful God. The Bible says in Malachi 3, verse 6, he said, I am the Lord, and I change not. In a world where everything is changing, we need something to build our life on that's stable, that's unchanging, that's always the same. And so I want to encourage you today to feed on, to focus on with me the faithfulness of God. We're celebrating all month, and we end next weekend. We're looking at 34 years ago, Kim and I came here, had the privilege to plant this church with 35 people. And you know, 34 years, there's been a lot of change going on, right? In 34 years, in all these decades, you know, there's been a lot of change in the church, in our culture, in our community. Oh my goodness, I remember, you know, when a Highway K was a two-lane road. I remember when behind the church, it was a pasture with cows. I remember. But you know, what's got me through, what's got Kim through 3 decades, 34 years, with all the changes in the church, in our culture, in our community, the highs and the lows, what's got Kim and I through it all? How did we navigate through it all? In the good times and the bad times, the high times and the low times, how did we navigate through it all? We did it by focusing on and feeding on the faithfulness of God. Amen. Last week, Kim and I celebrated 44 years of marriage. How did we do it? How did we do it? How did we stay together and enjoy each other for 44 years? How did we raise our sons? And now we have grandchildren, and they're all serving the Lord. They're all in the ministry. Our grandkids may not know it, but they are in the ministry. How did that happen? How did we navigate as a young couple 44 years ago when we first got married? I mean, she's stubborn. I'm stubborn. You know, our first 3 years together, we were throwing things at each other. Now, don't look holy at me today. We were cussing at each other. You know, we were arguing and fussing and fighting for the first 3 years of our marriage. How did we navigate through those first 3 years? How did we navigate through the first decade of having children and raising children to serve God, love the church? How do we navigate through the changes of our culture, community, and our church? And then to have our grandchildren serving the Lord and loving God and loving the church. How do we navigate through all of that? The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. How do we do that? We navigated by simply focusing on the faithfulness of God. You see, through it all, we've learned to trust God. How many of you know that you have to learn to trust God? That trusting God, it is a process, right? It's a process. It's steps. Everyone say steps. It's a process. It's every day, little by little, you learn to trust in God. You see, trusting God is the currency in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Trusting God, to trust God, trusting God is the currency in the kingdom of God. You know, you and I, if we want God to do something, if we need a miracle or a breakthrough, we want God to move in our behalf. He doesn't move because we need it or want it. He moves in our life according to how we trust Him. The Bible says that without faith, we can't even please Him. We're saved by faith. We walk by faith. We receive everything God has for us through faith. Another word for faith is trust. So how do you learn how to trust God? What does it mean to trust God? Well, let me give you right up front that the more you focus on the faithfulness of God, the more you focus on the faithfulness of God, the more you feed on the faithfulness of God, the more you'll learn how to trust God. Isn't that simple but profound? The more you and I, as we navigate through life and the highs and the lows and the decades of life and the seasons of life, the more that we learn to focus on, feed on God's attribute of faithfulness, you and I will learn to trust Him. Because trust is what? The currency in the kingdom of God. How many of you parents or grandparents have ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? Well, if you haven't been to Chuck E. Cheese, you've missed out, I'm telling you right now. And you know, when you go to Chuck E. Cheese, what happens when you go there? You know, you get pizza, and then what does your kids or grandkids want to do? They want to play the games. But how many of you know that, the currency you have in your wallet or billfold or purse won't work? You got to change into their currency, the tokens, in order to get the games to work. There's a currency at Chuck E. Cheese to make the games work. And by the way, whenever we go, I find out that my grandkids, they want to play the games and I end up eating their pizza. But my regular currency won't work there. I've got to exchange my currency for their currency, the tokens, for the games to work. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. If I want God to work in my life, I have to learn how to trust Him. And we're all going through something today that's challenging our trust. Can you trust God with your kids? Can you trust God with your future, your career, your finances, your appointments, your obligations this coming week? Can you trust God? How do we learn to trust God? Well, it's a process. It's through steps. And you learn to trust God. I've already given you the answer. One of the ways is to focus on His attribute of faithfulness. You know, I have here, I could do a CrossFit workout with this dictionary. And this is an 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary, 1828. And Jerry Savelle gave me this dictionary years ago. And I thought when I was talking about this, I would look up the word trust. So I wanted to look it up in the 1828 version and find out what Webster said trust means. And so I looked it up, and it kind of blew my mind, because to trust in the dictionary, it means to have a rested mind. Isn't that amazing? A rested mind. To trust means to have a rested mind. So not a restless mind. How do I know if I'm trusting God today? You know, what's the test that I'm really trusting God with my health, my appointments, my obligations, my children, my job, my career? My future, what's the test that I'm really trusting God? It's this: do I have a rested mind? Is my mind at rest, or is it restless? It's not a rested mind is the opposite of an anxious mind. If I have an anxious mind today, if I have a worried mind, a troubled mind, then I'm not trusting God. If my mind is tormented today, if it's full of doubt and unbelief, worry and wavering, then I'm not trusting God. To trust means to have a rested mind. Now, I know in the Bible, if you look at your Bible in Hebrews, it says they couldn't enter into God's best because they weren't entering into God's rest. Until my mind is at rest, I'll never have God's best. And a rested mind is a mind is putting their trust in God. Now, I went on to look at the definition here, and it says that trust means to have a rested mind through and by looking at the character of a good person. You with me, family? That a trust means to have a rested mind that's a result of coming through or by looking at the character of a good person. So what does that mean? That simply means that you and I then, through looking at the character and the attribute of our God, which we're looking at this month, faithfulness, it should give you a rested mind. It should build your trust in an almighty God that you can't see, but you can learn his nature and characteristics. And as you and I begin to feed on his faithfulness and focus on his faithfulness, our trust grows. And the more we trust him, the bigger things he can do in your life. The greater things he can do in your life. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a big praise. Amen. Trust. So what we're looking at today, we've been looking at all month, focusing on the faithfulness of God. Why? Because when you focus on the faithfulness of God, the attribute of faithfulness, it will build your trust. And when you have trust in God, you know you're really trusting in God, not if you go to church or you know your Bible, but you know you're trusting in God with everything in your life today when your mind is at rest. The test is, are you sleeping at night? Or are you agitated? Are you aggravated? Are you disturbed? Is your mind disturbed? Is your mind divided? Is your mind wavering? Is your mind negative? Is it troubled? If it is, then I'm not trusting God. But the good news is we're finding out how to put your trust in God. And you do that by focusing on, by feeding on the faithfulness. Everyone say faithfulness of God. Now, Kim and I have navigated here at this church, same people, same city, for 34 years. Trends have come, trends have gone. Culture has changed, people have changed, community has changed, church has changed. How do you navigate through all the change? 44 years of marriage. How do we navigate through all the seasons of a marriage? We simply did it by focusing on, feeding on the faithfulness of God. Because people will be unfaithful, but God will never be unfaithful. People will fail us because we're all frail, but God will never, ever, ever fail you. So by looking at the faithfulness of God, you'll begin to navigate through every season of your life and come out better at the other end. Is that all right with you today? All right, so let's get into the Word. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. And this was written by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. So let's look at it. He's going to list a whole lineage of really bad things going on in his life. He's going to talk about how he's lost hope. He's lost victory. He's lost peace. But then everything changes. Say everything changes. Everything changes when he stops and remembers and reflects on the faithfulness of God. Do you remember that Bible story of that teenager in the Bible? He had red hair, the Bible says, and he was fair complected. He was 17 years old. His name was David. And he had an obstacle in the way. Every one of us in this room, if you're following God, you've got an obstacle in your way. I'm going to say it again because I don't think you heard me. If you're following God's destiny and purpose for your life, today you've got an obstacle in your way. How did David deal with his Goliath? What did he do? When he looked at Goliath, what did he do? He remembered. If you're a note taker, write it down. He remembered. He had, number two, a revelation. Number three, he rejoiced in the faithfulness of God. when he was looking at Goliath, what did David say? David spoke to that obstacle and he said, hey, Goliath, the God who helped me with the lion. Faithfulness. The God who helped me with the bear, he's going to help me chop your head off and overcome this obstacle in my way. So how do you face challenges today that are in your way? How do you face obstacles? See, folks, if you're following God, you're going upstream. If you're following God, there are obstacles in your way. And you don't run from them. What do? You speak to them. Where do you get the power, Pastor? From remembering, getting a revelation, and rejoicing in the faithfulness of God. He helped you a year ago, didn't he? He helped you 3 years ago, 5 years ago, didn't he? He helped you this week, right, with the lion and the bear. Well, he's going to help you with the obstacle that's in your way today. Somebody give him a big praise. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking to one of our members between the services out there, and he walked up to me and he said, Pastor, you know, I had open heart surgery a couple years ago. He said, I had quadruple bypass, quadruple. He said, I wasn't expected to live. But he said, you know what, Pastor? I did what you're talking about. He said, in the midst of all of that, he said, I serve a faithful God who won't let me down, who won't walk out when things are hard, who won't disappoint me. And he said, Pastor, and he looked awesome. He said, I got through that heart surgery. And he said, today, Pastor, I'm a manager. And he named the department store over in St. Louis, huge chain, huge department. He said, I'm the manager over the department store. He said, I'm blessed, I'm healthy, I'm happy. He said, Pastor, it does work. When you're in trouble, look at the faithfulness of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. So now, Jeremiah, what does he say? He says, I don't have any peace. Maybe you don't have any peace today. Maybe you don't have a rested mind. Maybe your mind is full of anxiousness and worry, fear, depression, a double mind, a troubled mind. But look, I got the answer. He said, I don't have any peace. And then he said the King James word, I forget prosperity. What is he saying? He's saying, I have no hope. He's saying, I can never see the credit cards being paid off. I can never see myself having a better car, a better house. I can never see myself out of debt. I can never see getting a promotion. I can never see regaining what I've lost in the stock market. He's saying, I've lost all hope. He goes on with the list. Next verse. He said, and my strength and my hope is gone. Notice that when you get your eyes off the faithfulness of God, you begin to stop trusting God for better. You begin to stop trusting God for bigger. You lose hope. You lose peace. You know, a few years ago, it was in our North Campus, and we used to have on Saturday night a 5 o'clock service and a 7 o'clock service on Saturday nights. Two. And I remember that it was in the fall like this. After the service, it was kind of dark. The sun was going down. And at that time, we lived in New Melle. And Daniel, our oldest son, was a little guy then, and he was riding home with me in the van. And so we were on our way home after church on Saturday night. And we had just gone outside New Melle, and we were on a major highway. We came around a curve, and right in the middle of the road, right in the, you know, where they have the stripes in the middle of the road, was a teenage girl, long blonde hair, and she was laying in the middle of the road. Folks, we're going 35, 45 mile an hour. We come around the curve, and she's laying in the middle of the road. Not the side of the road, in the middle of the road. We had to screech and go off into the ditch to miss from running over her. This was on a Saturday night after church. Kind of like this time of season of the year where the sun was going down. It was just got dark. And I said, Daniel, you stay in the van. I got out. She kept laying there in the middle of the road. And I walked over to her, and I said, you okay, you all right? She jumped up, started cussing me. And she was shaking her fist, and she said, why didn't you run over me? Why didn't you kill me? I want to die. Folks, what was the problem? She had lost all hope. She was hopeless. And so I tried to help her, couldn't help her. I got back in the van. She just kind of walked over to the side of the road. I said, Daniel, let's go back into New Melody, find a sheriff's deputy, come back out. We went in, came back, and she was gone. We couldn't find her. What the bottom line is, she had no hope. She wanted somebody to run over her and kill her on that Saturday night. As a young teenager, beautiful young girl. Folks, I'm telling you today that God is the answer. God is the solution. He's the way, the truth, and the light. And if we'll get our eyes off of people, if we'll get our eyes off our circumstances, if we'll get our eyes off our hurts and our hang-ups and our habits, if we'll get our eyes off all of that and put our eyes on a God who's faithful. He's faithful in the good times and the bad times, in the high times and the low times. And if we'll look at that attribute, what happens? According to Webster, it builds trust. It builds trust. It builds your faith in a faithful God. And then what happens? Everything changes. So he goes on with the list. Next verse. He says, remembering mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood, and the gall. So notice all he's remembering is the bad times. You ever been around somebody like that? That whenever you're around them, all they bring up is their hurt. All they bring up is they got offended. All they bring up is the ex-husband, the ex-wife, the last job, the last church. And you know what they did? They got hurt and they made a home around their hurt. Folks, we've got to learn to move on, don't we? We're all going to get hurt in life because life is broken. And you know, that's why we have every Thursday night in this building, in our Rock Express, we have a small group called Celebrate Recovery, and it helps people with habits and hurts and hang-ups. And what's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, saying? He's saying, all I can think about is how I've been offended, how I've been disappointed, how I've been hurt, and he can't move on. Next verse. My soul is still in remembrance, and I'm humbled. Next verse, verse 21. Then I recall in my mind. Everybody say, in my mind. Nothing's going to change until you change your mind. I've got to change my thought life to go to a new level before I can ever go there. So he said, I recall in my mind, therefore I'm beginning to have hope. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Verse 23. Look, they are new. His mercy is new. What? Every morning. And look, family, great is. There's a song about that, isn't there? Great is his faithfulness. Do you all see what I'm trying to explain today? I don't know if I'm doing a good enough job or not, but I'm trying to communicate to you that he lists a lineage, a litany of things that you and I experience, but everything changed. The tipping point, the turning point, everything turned around when he began to what? Think about, recall, remember, and enjoy and talk about, think about the faithfulness of an almighty God. Amazing. Well, you don't know what they did to me, Pastor. I'm sorry. You don't know what happened there at that job, at that place. I'm sorry about that. But let's get our eyes off the unfaithfulness and the failings of people, and let's get our eyes on the faithfulness of an almighty God. Amen. And then we'll have a rested mind, not a disturbed mind, not an angry mind, not a bitter mind, not a prejudiced mind, not a bigotry mind, not a jealous mind, not an envious mind, but a rested mind. We can trust God for bigger and better. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look here. To everything there is a season and every purpose under heaven. If you're with me, notice that in every season, there's a purpose. In every season, there's a purpose. And I want to know, in the season, all of us are in a season today. All of us have obstacles in our way today. All of us are dealing with some kind of struggle today. All of us are in a season, but folks, we need to understand that in this season, God has a purpose that he wants us to learn. God has all of us something he wants us to learn, to adapt, to adjust. There's something in this season. And if I don't learn it in this season, I can move to another church, another city, another job, another marriage. But I'm going to have to go through that same season again until I learn it. Notice in every season, Pastor, I'm on hold. Pastor, it's been so long. Pastor, my life is being wasted away. No, it's not. No, it's not. The steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. God is not in a hurry. God is more for our character than our comfort. He's more into our journey than our destination. The season that you're in is not wasted time. You haven't been forgotten. You haven't been overlooked. It may look like other people are passing you by, but in the eyes and time of Almighty God, you are right where you're supposed to be. And in this season, there's a purpose. And you and I want to know what the purpose is in this season. Amen. And then it goes on, and he lists 14. Everybody say 14. He lists 14 opposites. Oh, my goodness. You know, I know Kim and I are living proof of the faithfulness of God. How can you stay in one church, in one city, with one group of people for 34 years? How can you stay married for 44 years? How can you navigate through the ups and downs of life? How do you navigate through everything changing, topsy-turvy? It used to be right, now it's wrong. It used to be wrong, now it's right. How do you navigate? We've done it by looking at the faithfulness of God, because he never changes. So he says here, next verse, can we see it? Verse 2, he said there's a time to be born. And look, the opposite, there's a time to die. Opposites. He goes on to say there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. Opposites. Next verse, he said there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. What is this all about? For all of these verses through verse 11, what is this all about? 14 opposites. I don't understand it. What he's saying is life is full of opposites. That one day it can be good and the next day can be bad. There can be a season when all the bills are paid, and then there can be a season of lack where you're wondering how you're going to make the house payment. In life that's full of opposites, why opposites, Pastor? Life's broken. The world is cursed because of sin. But the good news is, in Ecclesiastes 9, it says, to everyone comes chance. To everyone comes chance. To everyone comes a time and a chance. What does that mean? We all have the responsibility and privilege on how we respond to the ups and downs, the highs and the lows, the ins and the out, the good, the bad, the ugly, according to the theologian Clint Eastwood. How do you deal with that? How do you navigate with 1 week it's great, the next week it stinks? How do you navigate with one month is great, the next one is bad? 1 year is awesome, the next year is the worst year of your life. How do you navigate through the opposites of life? You do it by feeding and focusing on the faithfulness of God. Can we give God some praise right now? Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Psalm 37, and look with me here at verse 3. It says, the first word is what, family? Trust. What does trust mean? A rested mind. A rested mind that comes through looking at the character of a good person. Well, I say, let's look at the character of a good God who's for you today and has a purpose for your life. And by looking at his character, one of the traits is faithfulness. It builds trust. And your mind is at rest. Hallelujah. So he says, trust in the Lord and do what? Good. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean be a do-gooder? What does that mean, and do good? So it's not enough for a turnaround, a breakthrough, just for me to trust God. It's not enough. He said, you got to trust God. You got to lean on God. You got to rely on God. You got to depend on God. You got to know the nature of God. You got to get a revelation of the faithfulness of God. But then you got to do something else. If you want life to get better, you got to do good. What does do good mean? Well, in the Hebrew, it simply means you got to do the last thing God told you to do. You got to obey when God speaks into your life and tells you to do something. When we do what God tells us to do, God calls it good. I've got to do more than trust God. I got to sow seeds of random acts of kindness. Yesterday morning, Kim and I, 44 years, we still had a date yesterday morning. Took her out for breakfast. We're sitting there at breakfast, and all of a sudden, there's a tap on my shoulder. Hi, Pastor Blunt. Good morning. How you doing? And it was an elderly, retired Assemblies of God pastor in our community. He's been in the ministry for almost four decades. And something said on the inside, buy his breakfast. That was the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? Telling me to do something good. And so, you know, he went and sat down over there, and the waiter, his name is Rick. And so when Rick came over for our bill, I said, Rick, I want to pay his bill. And Rick said, do you want him to know? I said, no, I don't want him to know. But you know what? I think we should honor retired ministers. Yeah, I think we should honor them. Well, what was that? That was God speaking to me to do good. And he says here, you got to do more than trust God. You got to do good. What does that mean? You got to obey God when he speaks to you to do something before you're ever going to get your breakthrough and your turnaround. Isn't that an amazing, amazing thought? You got to do good. So he says, trust in the Lord. The team is coming out. And do good, so you shall dwell in the land. And then look, family, do you all see this? Please look. Feed on his what? That's what we've been talking about, right? Feed on the faithfulness of God. And look what's going to happen. And you will be fed. Feed on the faithfulness of God. You know, trust God. Obey God. And then while you're waiting, feed on the faithfulness of God. Trust God for your family, your kids, your health, your job, your debt cancellation, your bigger house, better house, nicer car, debt cancellation. Trust God, and then God's going to show you things to do. Old Robert said, miracles are coming towards you or passing you every day of your life. If we're caught up in our own world, we're going to miss it when God speaks to us to do something good for somebody else. So we trust God, we do good, and then we feed on the faithfulness of God. And the result is this. What's this, family? He, God, will feed you. God will feed you. Now that word fed in the Hebrew, it means you will be content and satisfied. Everybody say content and satisfied. Say content and satisfied. Say content and satisfied. Notice that I will put too much pressure on Kim to feed me. We put too much pressure on our husbands, on our wives, on our parents, on our boss, on our church to meet all of our needs. We can't meet each other's needs. We're not God. We put too much pressure on a husband or on a wife to feed us, make us content, and totally satisfy us. The only one that can do that is God Almighty. And when you and I learn to trust him, we have a rested mind. We're at peace. No turmoil, no anxiety, no worry, no disturbance, no trouble, at ease. And then we're doing good, obeying God, and then we're feeding on the faithfulness of God. God says the result will be you'll live content and you'll live satisfied because God will see to it you are fed. Now, what's this? I'm a teacher, so I think this way. Content. Where in the scripture have I heard the word content? And I'm thinking of Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever set of circumstances that I'm in. Y'all remember that verse, family? I've learned to be content. So focusing on the faithfulness of God while you're waiting will cause you to be satisfied. You don't need another thing to be happy. You don't need another thing to be content. And you know, for 34 years, I've stood behind a pulpit. By the way, I'm getting a new pulpit next weekend. Praise the Lord for anniversary. Hallelujah. Honolulu. Jalapeno. You know, I have John Osteen's personal pulpit, but it got so rickety, I didn't want it to fall apart. So we put it in storage for future library, museum, or something. But I've stood behind a pulpit for 34 years and received an offering at this church. And how many times have I used this verse? Philippians 4:19. Folks, but my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But folks, how many of you know that verse 11 comes before verse 19? Come on now. So God's not going to meet the needs of people who are dissatisfied. God is not going to meet all the needs of people who are discontent. There's a premise for every promise. There's a premise for every promise. Pastor, I have confessed that scripture and I'm still broke. It might be I'm complaining about my job. I'm worrying over my bills. I have a negative attitude. I've lost all my joy. I'm critical, sarcastic, and unhappy. Until I learn to let God feed me by putting everything in his hands and trusting God with everything. And then I plant seeds and I do everything he tells me to do. And then I feed on the faithfulness of God. Then he says he'll meet all my needs and feed me. Am I communicating today? Oh, isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. So here's the takeaway. We need to say every day, God, I trust you with everything that's going on in my life today. God, I don't need another thing to be content. God, I don't need another thing to be happy or satisfied. God, my satisfaction. God, happy are those who trust in the Lord. God, I don't need a better job, a bigger house, a car that runs, make more money. God, I'm content. I trust everything into your hands today. And when we get to there, guess what? God's going to feed you. God's going to provide for you. God's going to open the windows of heaven for you. And you're going to be so blessed. It's going to overflow on your family and friends. I'm out of time. Y'all get something? Come on, give the Lord a praise.